See it and all that? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, greetings, everyone. I'll get back on here. And got a message for you. One of these scriptures the Lord began to speak to me several weeks ago. And I was just waiting on what is this about. I was telling Kathy about it. I can't remember when it was. I think it was Friday. And while I was talking to her, he gave me another part. And the name of this message is, What Can the Righteous Do? That's the title to the message. What Can the Righteous Do? Now, if y'all go on the website and the message is up there and it doesn't say, What Can the Righteous Do? Y'all call Ernestine. Because she's notorious for just changing my titles. She choose something else that she likes. So you've got to watch her. Okay. So anyway, what can the righteous do? I got two main scriptures here. I'm taking them out of context. I'm letting you know up front. Because this is the way the Lord gave it to me. And he's not really. He doesn't care about exegesis and what you call that, hermeneutics. Sorry about raising the hand. Hermeneutics or exegesis. He's not into all that. So I am taking them out of the context of what they were written in, but just the way he gave it to me. So what can the righteous do? I'm going to answer that question. Let's go to the scripture in Psalms 11, Psalms 11, verse 3. Psalms 11, verse 3. I'm reading out of the New King James Version on this one. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me pray here just a minute. Holy Spirit, I just bow my heart to you. Just want to give Jesus all the glory and the honor, just like you do. And just ask you, Lord, for a witness of the things that you want me to say. If I say it right, Lord, I ask you to bear witness to it, that it would have some kind of impact and help someone, to propel someone, to equip someone, or empower someone, and myself included. I just want to honor you. Just what it's all about to me. And I thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. Honor you, Lord. Thank you. What can the righteous do? If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, what I'm thinking of right here, what it came to me, our foundations of our faith. So, question. What if a right foundation has never been laid? Well, if you got one, but it's not a right foundation, what if it's incomplete? What if there's one been started, but it's incomplete, or if there's maybe a few missing parts? I'm a builder. I'm a retired home builder. And a foundation, I mean, I don't care how pretty the house is. If you don't get the foundation right, there's a problem. Okay. That's a big problem. And that was the most critical thing that I needed to pay attention to when I was building was the foundation. I mean, from the time that we began to dig into the earth and we had to dig down to something solid. And sometimes we had to go several feet. Now, in the area I was building in, we usually only had to go about 12 to 18 inches, but I have had to go 6 feet deep to get the firm soil. So you got to get started with something firm and something solid and things that are essential. And so on top of that, you know, I'm tying the steel And I did a lot of this myself when I was a remodeler. I did a lot of this myself. I tied the steel and I called concrete in, called the right kind of concrete, the right strength of concrete for the purpose that I was using it for. You don't use the same kind of concrete for a foundation and a footing as you do for a slab or a porch. It's totally different. It's got to be much stronger. So you got to have all the right, you got to have everything that needs to be in the foundation be there for it to be a good foundation. But then how is it that a foundation could be destroyed? Or how is it that it could be made inert or ineffective? And how has that happened to people? I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to pastors and leaders who impacted my life so powerfully, so that the Holy Spirit used in such anointing, it was amazing. And then something happened. And the foundations became ineffective and they kind of got off track. How is it that one can be made that way? How does that happen? Well, I'm going to answer that question too, but I'm going to go to Proverbs 29, 18. This is the where I wind up at too, which would be where the answer is. Proverbs 29, 18, the King James Version says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So I'm going to read this same verse. I'm going to read the first part of it out of the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic has brackets. They add some, exclamation, some information there for you. And this really says it really well. It says, "Where there is no vision," in brackets it says, "no redemptive revelation of God." No redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. And that word redemptive, I looked it up in the dictionary on my computer here. That was interesting. It said, redemptive is acting to save someone from error or from evil. And the example they gave was the healing power of redemptive love, which I thought was really interesting coming from the dictionary. No, it wasn't a Bible dictionary, it was just a dictionary. Where there is no vision, no revelation of Him, the people perish. Okay? And so, how in the world is it that the foundations can be so impacted? How about when someone has walked with the Lord for decades and ministered? I mean, I've been with people who have cast out devils and healed the sick and completely impacted people, just turned their lives completely around, just ministering to them. And I was one of them. And then see them somehow, Jesus said, "Blessed is he who's not offended in me." Somehow get offended. Things didn't happen the way they expected. Had an expectation that really wasn't from the Lord, but it wasn't a bad expectation. It just unfulfilled expectations. Surely God would do this or not do that. And he's got his own rule book, he goes by. It's funny how we always try to put him in a box. Got to have him categorized just a certain way, because we use our logic and our reasoning, and you got to throw that out. I'm a common sense. I mean, I'm all about common sense and reasoning and logic. As a builder, it's all about that. But walking in the Spirit, you can't look to reasoning, deductive reasoning and logic and things like that. You got to listen for what He would say. Case in point, these scriptures He gave me to use. Completely out of context, but they're going to fit what we're going to talk about. So how do these things happen? Well, let me take you over to Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. You know, the first 20, 21 verses all about this parable of the sower, sowing the seed. And we notice, he explains that the seed is the Word of God. And he talks about the four types of soil. I'm not going to take all the time to go into it, but I have before in other messages. And you can go in and read it. But then the disciples go to him and say, what does all this mean? And Jesus went to him and said, you know, I'm really puzzled, really myself. I'm puzzled about that he's baffled. How is it that you don't understand this? And I'm thinking, well, you know, they didn't have the Holy Ghost to teach them all things. But they had been hanging back around with him 24/7 for years now. But he said, how is it that you don't understand this? If you don't understand this one, then there's no way you could understand any other parable, because this is the bedrock. This is like the one parable. If you understand this, it'll open up the door to the rest of them. And you don't understand it. He said, I'm going to explain it to you. So here's what he said down in verse 18 and 19, reading out of the New King James. He said, now these are the ones, the seed, sown among thorns. They are the ones that hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. What other things? Other things than the things of the Spirit. The cares of this world, the cares of this natural life, this realm. They enter in, they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the cares of this life, you know, some people say that refers to like the anxieties, the worries, the distractions that come with everyday life. And that's true. But it also can be the busyness of just living life. You know, we live life. And I remember, you know, when I was born again, it was a major deal having been a drug dealer and had demons and not looking for God. And he just, I mean, invaded my world. I mean, I would, you know, I don't know. I wasn't drawn. I was just taken. I was just, sit down. And he set me down. And delivered me. And I encountered him. It was the first of many encounters. And my encounter was so other. I mean, it was, I don't even have words for it, but it was, it completely flipped me right side up from being upside down, you know, from being strung out on cocaine, a drug dealer, high on the cocaine at the moment that Jesus came into my life. But in that instant, I was made straight. But all of a sudden, his love washed over me, and I was in love. And I didn't care about anything else. I didn't need another drug. I was not addicted. That was not who I was anymore. I had no addiction. There was no steps. The step that was taken, he took it. Right? But, you know, the thing is, I didn't care about other things. I really did not care about anything else. I mean, I didn't care if I didn't eat. And but the Lord, you know, he ordered my steps and led me and opened doors, and I got to go to work for you know, just as a beginner laborer, really, an apprentice for a carpenter. He had his own crew. He was a World War II vet, real hardcore guy, like my dad and people that raised me were, and that kind of, you know, like I was. Real hard. I still am, kind of. And but I didn't care about the riches. I didn't care about desire for other things, because I was so caught up with him. I wasn't even trying to find out what his promises were. I didn't need to know them. I really didn't see. All I cared about was him and his presence. And so here, you know, what happens, I saw with folks that have been, especially people that were raised in church, like some of y'all were. I was not. I mean, I went to church for a while, but I got kicked out when I was 12. And so, and I thank God for it. I mean, you know, we are naturally religious without having to go to church. I'm just telling you, it's a natural default. But people that are raised in church and just, you know, this is what Christianity is about. This is church. This is what we do. You know, we have these meetings and we honor God and we try to be good. And that's not Christianity. I'm just telling you. There's no relationship in that. I've even had people tell me, you know, even when I was in Bible college, you know, you got to have a relationship with the Word. In other words, you got to be a student of the Word. I'm going to be a student of the Word, but am I going to have a relationship with Jesus? Yeah. And a relationship with my Papa. And now, you know, in the last some time now, I'm developing a relationship with the Holy Ghost. I'm starting to see that that's where the Lord's leading me into this communion of the Holy Spirit. And so these things that come into people's lives, they are the thorns. Because the thorns are the cares of this life. They are the thorns that hinder spiritual life and spiritual growth. Much less spiritual growth. Just walk to be able to walk in the Spirit. You know, you can't just, you know, you can be in worship and you can be read the Bible every day, you know. And I try to keep up with going through the Bible every year, going through the Bible with Andrew Womack's got this, you know, a lot of people do. But this annual, you know, reading through the Bible so much every day, and do all that. You can memorize the Bible and still not walk in the Spirit. Because you got to have that that thing that's missing is something in your foundation's missing. But see, what happens is the things that cause your foundation to be destroyed, or I would say in this, in the light of what I'm talking about, is for it to become inert or ineffective. Or is the busyness of life, the cares of this life. And the cares of this life are big sometimes, you know. And we recently lost a good brother that I'd been ministering to. And, you know, but he's with Jesus. He don't care. He ain't worried about me. He's with Jesus, and he's set free, and he doesn't have cancer anymore. But I was upset about that, because I knew the Lord had better plans. But you know what? That's life. And if you live long enough, I'll be 76 here shortly, you're going to lose a lot of people, and you're going to be a lot of disappointments. And how do you handle all that? It's all based on your own value system and your own core beliefs. But this parable really nails it. These are the thorns that choke the word. Now, we're talking about a living word. I'm not talking about a scripture you memorized. I'm not talking about promise. I'm talking about words that come in and change you effortlessly. Andrew Womack wrote that book, Effortless Change. It was actually when that came out, when I heard about him, and I was watching all that. And I actually have taught that book as Bible study several times. And it is effortless change. You get the word in you by meditating on Him, in the Word, with Him. But see, the busyness of life, just the cares of life, just choke it all out. And it overshadows one's focus on faith, on the core of your faith, the foundations of your faith. Let me read something else to you in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Hang on just a second. Chapter 2. Verse 15 and 16, New King James Version. I love the King James says, love not the world. I learned the King James in the beginning, but I'm reading the New King James. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. Now, a lot of people, Christians that have been brought up, especially in church, I found out, when they get a picture, you get a picture of something. Anytime anything's mentioned, you get a picture of it. And so, love not the world. Well, they're thinking about sin, the ungodliness of the world. But that's not what this is. It could be included. But do not love the world or the things in the world. You know, that's the thing that gets me about Christians. They're so afraid to die. It's like this is something to hang on to. And I don't understand that. Because if you allow Him to give you a glimpse of what's ahead, you can get excited. I do. And, you know, one of our freedoms is, if you want to go look it up, I won't go into it right now. I don't think I am. But anyway, Hebrews 2:14, you know, says that, you know, I'm going to paraphrase it, that Jesus was a man just like us. But he, just like him, we too, because are set free. Because what he did is he removed the fear of death. That's part of your inheritance. So if you're afraid of death, you're not experiencing what he gave you. That's complete freedom. So here we are, love not the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, there's a lot of things I enjoy. I enjoy talking to Brother Steve Humphrey out in California. We talk every Sunday. Known him since I got born again. And we both love the outdoors. Kathy loves, my wife loves the outdoors. Hunting and fishing and just nature. Love it. But I don't love it so much that I'm just feel like I'm going to lose it. Actually, I think we're going to gain something a whole lot better in that regard. I don't know who's going first, him or me, but whoever going first is going to find the best fishing hole so when the other one comes, we can go fishing. That's the way I'm seeing it. But anyway, it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. Now, that's the New King James. If you read other versions, see, when you read the word lust, again, the typical Christian thinks, okay, do we talk about sin? No. How about the desire of your natural desires, the things that your eyes desire, and the pride of life? It's not of the Father, but it's of this world. I'm going to read the same scripture out of the Passion Translation. Now, I only use the Passion Translation for reference. I would not ever advise anyone to use it as their Bible, okay? Because there's some stuff in there that witness of the Holy Spirit to me is some of it's just quite, not quite there, okay? It's not. And who am I to say that? Well, it's what the Holy Spirit shows me. I gave it a message last month about the witness of the Spirit, so you can go back and listen to that one. But you got to go by the witness. I got a good witness on this one. It says, don't set your affections of your heart on the world or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, the gratifications of the flesh, the allurement of things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. And you know, this is like a balancing act we have, because you know, I raised 6 children and I pushed them. You know, you need to find something that you enjoy and do it well. And do that, you know, for a living. And be good at it. And, of course, when I'm talking to them about it, you want to be good at it. Like, my idea of being great at what I did was to honor the Lord. I'm going to do it with excellence. I don't care if I don't make money. I ain't worried about money. He's going to take care of me. And when I worked for other people, you know, I never asked for a raise. I never had to. I never even thought about money. They offered me what they offered me to start out with, and it was the rest of it, none of my business, because I'm there to honor the Father. I'm there to be pleasing to the Lord and just want to do everything I can with excellence. And guess what? That was rewarded. The Lord looked after you. Promotion comes from the Lord. So it's a funny thing that, you know, that we teach our children to achieve and so forth, but we have to have that balance in there, what the purpose is. And then, you know, but sometimes we get caught up in ambitions. And even as Spirit-filled believers, we can get caught up in some things. It's come to my attention, you know, as Kathy and I are walking a journey together, you know, since she had a fall and, you know, the surgeons messed it up and caused her to have a stroke and the situation we have right now. You know, there's been a period of, we know that Jesus paid for all this. By his stripes, she's made whole. So, you know, we're pursuing the healing. Well, then the Lord began to reveal to me, well, no, it's more than that. What I want you to pursue is that I've called you to walk in dominion. Healing's just part of it. But now, what I'm starting to realize is, I'm not going to find any of the anythings until I'm actually pursuing him. Because every question that I have and you have, he'll answer it in the revelation of him to you. He'll answer all that in the revelation of him to you. Okay? Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. I could pull out a whole lot of scriptures, but I'm just going to pull out this little handful. Colossians 3, verse 1. I was thinking this was going to be a short message, and I don't know how long I've been going, so I don't have a clock thing going. This is out of the English Standard Version. It says, if you then have been raised with Christ, that's you, me, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Set your minds and your affections on the things that are above. Set your hearts on the things that are above, not on the things that are of the earth. For you have died. You are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, in Romans 6 it says, know you not, as many of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. That's what water baptism is all about, identifying with that. So knowing that you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. See? So the things that are above are the spiritual things that are of Christ Jesus. But the things that are below of the earth are from Satan, really. That's his realm. That's his realm. And when you see the craziness going on in this world, you can easily see what Jesus was talking about when he said to the raucous crowd, that wanted to stone him a couple of times, says, you are of your father, the devil. Well, we got a world full of people that are fathered by the devil, okay? And it's manifesting itself more and more. I've asked the Lord, when is he going to do the things that he showed me? And I said, and it came to me, Lord, is the sins of the Amorites full? Is it time? And he said, no, it's not, but it's coming. We're close. He said, it's real close. So right here in Colossians says, if you've been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. Don't be distracted. Don't be caught up in... Now, I know how busy it can be having babies, raising six. Two of them were 13, two sets of two 13 months apart. And then, having them maybe 2 years and then another one. And you get babies and toddlers going. And I don't know how, a man can't do it. I'm just going to be honest with you. But a woman, they're giving grace. I think it's for a season. I tried to talk Kathy and let's raise more kids. She ain't in it. She ain't getting a witness on it. But it's for a season. But you see, even in the midst of that, I marveled at moms whose hearts are so set on Jesus. In the midst of all that, they're not distracted from allowing the life of Christ to manifest in them and them walk in the Spirit and to hear him and to know the witness of the Spirit and to walk step by step with him. Let's go to Jude, half-brother of Jesus. Jude, only one chapter. You all know this. I'm reading out the New Revised Standard Version on this one. Could have picked several different ones. They're all about the same. But it says, verses 21, 20 and 21. But you, my beloved, build yourself up on your most holy faith. I'm thinking, here I have, 2025, 52 years, over 52 years now of being in Christ, of being a new species, a new creation, filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's this exhortation to continue. Build yourselves up. Build yourself up. Keep building on your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. How do you do that? Well, let's go back. Proverbs 29:18 again. where there is no revelation of Him, the people perish. You know, and some of the versions say, you know, the people cast off restraint, or they are scattered, or the people perish, where there's no revelation of Him. You know, it's not just revelation. As believers, we get caught up in seeking after revelation, and instead of seeking after Him, and just to be with Him, just to be with Him, okay? Just to quiet the heart, quiet the soul, and go be with Him. You know, maybe people that have been around me and have heard me have been hearing this a long time. But there've been a lot. I mean, the Lord pointed this out to me not long ago. I think within the last week or so. Said so many people, you know, have come to me over the years. I mean, it's for years and years. Not, I mean, even when I was fairly new. But they would just want to come and want me to talk to them, because I'm talking to them and they're starting to get revelation. And I've had pastors come, you know, as time went on, pastors would come and want me to share some more revelation with them. And I'm not here to share revelation. I mean, it's revelation, but it's not because I'm seeking revelation. I'm seeking Him. See? And that's where the revelation is. But people want to have, it's like having their ears tickled. Oh, that's so cool. That's so awesome. I saw this over and over again in Karis Bible College. You know, I was up in the choir because I was in a particular program that required you had to be in the choir. I wouldn't have been in it. You know, I was up in on stage, which was uncomfortable. And you're looking out over, I don't know, 650 people. And the Lord spoke to me one day while we're in worship. You know, we'd have chapel and different worships. And all these people out there two, three times a week. I can't remember how many times a week it was. At any rate, it's been a long time ago now, it seems like. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He says, I want you to look out. And I looked out over the crowd and He says, there's just such a small handful of those 650 people. Now there's about 1,200. But of the 650 people that understand what Paul was saying in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. It's not my life. We've been bought with a price. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's about Him. And He told me, He said, Robert, there's so few. And I said, Lord, why are you saying this? And He would say things like that to me, you know, over years. And, you know, He says, I want you to share that. People have to come into a relationship of intimacy with Him. Because apart from a revelation of Him, your foundation is incomplete. And I'm talking about a continual, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself feasting on His love. Sometimes I'll come out here, you know, we get up in the morning, and I help Kathy get, you know, going and get her into this, you know, huge master bath area, you know, with the vanities and all the stuff, you know. And she preps herself. She knows how to get all of, she takes care of herself real good, hair and makeup, you know, what ladies do. And she's in the Word back there, and I come out here. And sometimes I just sit still a minute and just feast on his love. One simple little thing one pastor taught me one time. He had us go through exercise. I want everybody to close your eyes and say after me, Lord Jesus. Or you say Father, whatever your intimacy is, your Holy Spirit or whatever. Lord Jesus, I receive your love right now by faith. Don't feel nothing. Don't have to feel anything. Because you're not going by feeling, you know. And, you know, it doesn't say walk by feeling, not by sight. So walk by faith, not by sight. So I drink of your love. I receive your love right now. And I'm telling you, we sit there and we just did that until all of a sudden the party started. And we were just drinking of his love, and all of us were receiving of it. It's an exercise. But are we feasting? Are you feasting? Are you feeding on and feasting on who he is and his love for you? The love and the lover. Are you feasting on the love and the lover? Do it today. Have you had an encounter with him? I run across, I don't know, 98% of the believers I know have never encountered him. Never. And what do you mean? I mean, I've been, you know, I remember when I was at Karis Bible College in Colorado, you're in the Word all the time. And I mean, you just, I know when I was in Raleigh, the first two years of Karis Bible College, it was such an adventure because you can't, if you're paying attention, you can't help but walk in the Spirit. And it's just an incredible thing. And I was having divine appointments constantly to where I couldn't even get rest. I mean, miracles were taking place everywhere. And divine appointments and things of every kind you can think of. I mean, from somebody coming to your door saying, I'm on my way to commit suicide, but Jesus said, I need to come talk to you first. What do you got to say? Stuff like that happening, or, you know, other people come just knocking on your door that don't even know you. And they don't know why they're knocking on your door. But when I went to Karis Bible, but you see, you're in it. You're in the thing. But when I went to Colorado, I got involved in two different musicals going on at the same time. So I'm rehearsing all the time. And I realized one day it just hit me on a Friday after school that I was dry. How can you be dry? You're in the Word all the time and you're rehearsing these incredible musicals, anointed things. Oh Lord, something's wrong. I'm dry. And get alone. Go get alone right now. And I just did that. I got alone for about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I drank. And I was there and I said, Lord, I'm not leaving here. I don't care about school. I don't care about food. I don't care about eating. I don't care about what these people are worried about me. They wonder where I went. I don't care. I'm not leaving here without encountering you. Nothing else matters to me. I don't care about anything else. And I've been there many times. So I've done that several times. And I encourage you to seek him. Many of us need a touch in some way or another, like healing. You shouldn't have anything. I don't care what it is. I mean, you know, some people have some very serious things going on. Some people you know do, brothers and sisters. We shouldn't have any of it. Not all, I mean, I'd be 76. Not arthritis, not dizziness, not lightheadedness, not diabetes, not, I don't care what it is, none of it belongs to us. But in the course of pursuing, walking in that, really, it all needs to go back to the essentials that should be in your foundation. I remember there was a brother that I love, one of my favorite teachers at Karis Bible College, Arthur Menches, and he taught a course entitled The Essential Truths of the New Testament. And one of the things that we learned was not every truth was essential. There's some that are just absolutely essential, but some are wonderful, but they're not essential. Well, this is very, very similar to that in your foundation. There are many things that are important, but they're not essential for your foundation. But keeping yourself in the love of God, having an ongoing revelation of Him in your life and feasting on Him, feasting on the love and the lover. That's essential. And if that's missing, or if that's been waning some, do it today. Pick it back up and make it more important than anything else. I made it more important than even opening up my Bible. I'm going to sit still and be still with Him. When I go to the Word, it explodes. I mean, I could preach out of everywhere. I was thinking today, I said, Lord, I don't know what's happened, but I just realized, you know, I could preach all day and everywhere in the Word. And I didn't do it. You did that. And I think that's just incredible. There ain't nothing special about Robert. And I just want to, but you know the thing that I did get my foundation going. I got it going good. I need to work on it. I need to build myself up in my most holy faith. Keep myself in the love of God. That's what we need. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And so I think I'm done. Take up your cross daily. Follow Him.
Will you pray, Robert?
Yep. Sure can. All right, Papa. Thank you for the anointing like Peter's shadow, Lord, of presence with your word. Presence with your word. With everyone who's heard this or will hear it. Lord, we just yield it. The thing is, Lord, this is all we need to do. Stop right now. I yield to you, surrender to you. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you. I yield to you. I lay it all down. Nothing else matters. And I don't want anybody else. Kathy and I don't need anyone else but you, Jesus. And my brothers and sisters don't need anybody else but you, Jesus. We need the lover of our soul. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you called us to come to be intimate with you and walk with you and to know you and encounter you and experience you, and to hear your voice, to hear the voice behind us saying, walk, this is the way, walk ye in it. This way, be led of your spirit. And we thank you for it. Lord, it's going to thank you for it because it's ours. And all we have to do is surrender. Quiet our soul. Surrender. Yield to you. Do that in Jesus' name. Amen.